prominent, we must do to the heart. Wonderful thing, the heart. If it ever stops, they call it a heart attack, cardiac arrest. Nobody acknowledges the heart until it introduces itself, unfortunately, in a very painful way. And it's only a warning sign to let us know that we're not taking care of our business. So to hear today, regardless of whether you're young or old, or who you are, or where you are, or what time and what place, it's all about what's in the heart. For it says, "Man qala la ilaha illallah mukhlisan, mukhlisan dakhala al-jannah." Where is that place? In the brain? In the eyes? Through articulation of the tongue? Through fast feet? Strong hands? No. Here. Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "At-taqwa ha-huna." It meant ishara, direction towards the heart. So if the heart is properly inculcated with the proper things, that person, be it a feminine gender or a masculine gender, a girl or boy, they'll be directed and they'll be successful. So in the time of conception, for some of you young people, it's the time when there's a joining of the human being. And Allah declares after 4 months that that piece of flesh should have life. The concern about our risk, our sustenance, all of the things is written on that individual, for that individual. And it's already predetermined. "Inna dunya khuliqat lakum wa antum khuliqtum lil akhirah." This dunya has already been preserved and created for you and I. But you and I, specifically, you're talking about the ruhani, the soul. It's under the management of the heart, have been created for the hereafter. But how do we get there? How do we get there? That's the whole object. And that's why we're here tonight. Because the present is strengthened by the past, and the future is given the stimulant, or stimulated, was given the energy or the drive by that thing that we keep focused on in the future. The future, that is the Jannah, paradise, the scenes of seeing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. All of those real things, we must understand that the only way we can get to those things, understand those things, we must make firm effort and sacrifice in this world. We know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is Khaliq Asha wa Ahwal. Allah is the creator of all the things, all the conditions. Now that we know that, but we have to believe in that. To understand something is to be educated, but to believe in something, it takes effort and sacrifice. Now those two things are marketable and it's obtainable only in a place where they call it fi sabilillah, in the path of Allah, where you spend the resources that Allah's given us in exchange for iman. Alladhina yu'min bil ghaib, the unseen, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. To the extent that He makes the mechanical actions and deeds, wa yuqimu as-salah wa yutu az-zakah, He does those things that works on his nafs, and He directs it towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is an individual who is successful. So as we're traveling in this world, we change from a young man to a middle-aged man to an elder man. And you have to carry all of that information with you in our state of transforming into the status of demise. I said transforming. Now, that means to make a transition. You see, when you were a cute little fellow like that, no sign of age, no sign of travel. And as you become more mature, you look like a person who the respect and the responsibility is superimposed upon you, whether you like it or not. And when you become an elder, you must become an example of conviction and understanding, and a place for a child to understand their direction. So we're all changing. But what do we do in that interim? We have to keep teaching each other about the greatness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. No matter if you're young, no matter if you're old. The yaqeen in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is paramount. We must have total belief in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Who teaches that child? Dad does a good job. But for 30 years or more, he's called dad because he's the Rabb al-Bayt. Who's daddy? Lights to pay, gas bill to pay, and the education is done. He's the strong figure. He's the guy that when he says something, the thunder is in the voice. We know dad is here. We know that that means the law. It means respect. It means stability. It means responsibility. But in a soft, subtle kind of way, who's in charge? Mom's in charge. We would think about warmth. We think about love. We understand who dad is, but we don't think about that when we think about love in a way of being feeling great and good and subtle. Think about mom. We think about how she's taking care of us after 9 months and how she takes us from a status of a little tuffle, a little baby, and milk coming out of a strange place at the proper time, and it sustains us, and then we can walk. We think about mom. The tarbiyah of the mother, the training of the mother, has gotten you all to the state that you all right here, and me, all of us. You're able to get up, you're able to stand up, you're able to put on your clothes, you're able to make a distinction between foul and good smell, put on your clothes, say yes sir and no sir, to have an idea of what success is. It comes from dad, but the feeling of it is from the mother. Well, guess what? Allah's love is 70 times or more greater than that. And Allah wants us to get this iman and yaqeen in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. One man was driving down the street. Let's just park the car and we're going to walk for a minute. So just get out the car. We're going to walk around for a minute. We're in the park. This is his example. So the man is walking and he runs into a thief. And the guy says, give me your money. So the guy said, why should I give you my money? He said, because you have money, I don't have money. You're rich and I'm poor. He says, is that right? He said, you are richer than I am, or just as rich as I am. He said, well, this is impossible. He said, give me your eye. How much would you give me for your eye? Exchange for me your eye. He said, no, I can't do that. He said, it's priceless, right? He says, give me your ear. He said, I can't do that. Are you crazy? He said, cut out your heart and give it to me. He said, I can't do that. He said, you don't even see it. What kind of value? He said, I know, but this is my heart. Give me one of your legs. He said, you're very rich. And the man began to think that I'm not taking the resources of Allah and giving thanks to Him. So Allah's given us four doors that from the time of a young man to an elder, that we have to be very careful what goes through this door. The eyes, the brain, the ears, and the tongue. For they affect the heart. They're affecting heart. What you see will affect your opinion and what you think about. And what you hear will affect everything that you do. And what you talk about will affect your heart. وَمَنْ أَحْسَنُ قَوْلًا مِمَّنْ دَعَا إِلَى اللَّهِ وَعَمِلَ صَالِحًا وَقَالَ إِنَّنِي مِنَ الْمُسْلِمِينَ. Whose words, whose ability to articulate words of grandeur, power, is better than the words speaking about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Inviting to the greatness of Allah. To the extent that in talking, and in visualizing, hearing, it makes me have the quality of tatbiq, to implement the orders and the commandments of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, my respected brothers, we live in a society where everything is a tiskin and a taskin and a brown and yellow basket. They have fun. Fun is a marketing thing nowadays, to have fun. Play. They market that now. You can't buy it on television. It's in the air. Just go like that. Oh, yeah, you smell it. Huh? It's in the air. It's nice. It's in the air. It permeates through your whole body. No matter how many you put your clothes on, it's in the air. It's fun. Fitna. Love for the opposite thing. Whatever we say, everything's on sale that's wrong. You understand? Everything that is on sale is wrong. In other words, everything that's haram is considered halal. Everything is right is cheap. What's expensive and popular, that which is wrong. To look, use your eyes. Some of you, I understand this is a community of a lot of scientists here, very intelligent people here. But study the eyes. The intricate understanding of the eyes and the ears. Talk to some of your doctor, fathers, and friends, and understand the science of your ears and your eyes and your brain. Man has been all over the world, but he cannot dive into the depth of the brain and the tongue and the smell. But if we adulterate or we don't use our eyes and our ears and our brain and our tongue properly, it will affect our heart. And we would do bad things with our hands. We will say bad things with our tongue. We won't be able to understand how to see. You see? We won't be able to think. So we'll have false yaqeen in things. That's why we have to teach our children that is Allah is the Rabbul Alameen. He's the sustainer. He's the Razak. And that only through the Salat we can get connection to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Through Salat. Articulating, reciting the tajweed, the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, no matter who or how you are, this is the greatest perfected words. So through the Quran, we can get this closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. A person who is intelligent, he understands that the way in Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will give him this spiritual benefit where you can benefit in both worlds. A person who is intelligent understands that the order and the commandments of Allah is the most powerful thing. Al-Qayyis, man dana nafsa, wa amila lima ba'da. I'm not talking about you or the other fellow or my neighbor, but one who's intelligent, one who he has this intellect, this ruhani intellect. He gives high scrutiny to himself. And he makes effort for the hereafter. Because he knows the real hardship is not now. It's after the closure of our leaving here. And we have to enter the real testing point in the grave. The awakening up on the Yom al-Hashr, the Midan, the Mizan. You know Midan? Feel. The day that we'll be sent forth in the scale. The day of weighing in. You know, when we weigh in, it won't be about who's big and heavy. You know, everybody wants to get a six pack? You know all the youngsters are, right? My son, he's just all the day, he's just, And he goes, looks at his stomach, look dad, you know, I got the six pack, you know. He does the crunches. You know about it, right? Eat all kind of pieces, That won't mean nothing on the Qiyamah. You're standing there, big guy, right? You say, oh yeah, well, I'll do the outweigh. The scale is here, no problem. I got some good deeds, but look how I'm cut. I just jump on the scale and it's a piece of cake. Won't mean anything. Jump on the scale, scale won't even budge. But if you had a piece of paper in your pocket that has la ilaha illallah, it doesn't feel that weighty in this world, and it's put on the other side, it'll hurl that big, heavy person far, far away. One piece of paper with the kalima, la ilaha illallah. That's what we make effort for in this time, in this world. Because there's nothing worthy of worship but Allah. A young man must say this, an older man must say this, women, everybody must articulate. That must be the mizaj. So we have to be people who suggested to go and become environmentalists. You know the Muslims are environmentalists? You know what environmentalists is? It's a person, he is a person, she is a person, they are a person, young or old, who set the pace of environment. They make the environment sweet, peaceful, good. They make the environment safe. Because he knows the amal that he does, the good deeds that he does, the action that he does, the things that he does with the environment, set forth an environment that it brings all of these things. By just sitting here, we're environmentalists. Knowing that people come in, they want to check the air. They want to check how many particles in the air. You can't breathe them, but they're all very small particulates. And they can cause you to breathe funny, or they can cause very bad respiratory problems. You know, mites and all kind of fungus problems. You can't see them. But environmentalists, if you're sitting like this, the malaika, the angels of Rahmah, Sakina, Barakah, it descends on a place like this. You summons a creation from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that changes the environment. If there's fitna in the environment, angels cannot be around. So they're opposed to this. So that this environment, they started stacking themselves upon one another, started mentioning each one of us to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he dialogues with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah dialogues with them. كَيْفَ تَرَكْتُمْ ibadi. How did you leave my worshippers? As a testimony to him and the angels. كَيْفَ تَرَكْتُمْ ibadi. My angels, how did you leave my worshippers? They have to say, I don't care what language it is, that they left a believer from Pakistan, India, I don't care where he's at. They have to say, we came to them and they were praying. And we left them, they were praying. They were acknowledging the greatness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. How does this become a reality? Because of our gathering here for the purpose of coming close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So all of these things, they bring Allah's rahmah. And it decreases ghadab. You see, today Allah is angry with the Muslims. He's angry with creation, but he's angry with the Muslims. Because the Muslims have become, even the youngsters, but don't think a lot more merciful than young people because they're under the control of the parents. Mujrim, you know Mujrim? He's a thief, he's a sinner, he's a criminal. One man he's given by him, he says, he's talking to these Arab brothers, and he spoke Arabic very well, very good friend of mine. You know, when you're a converted Muslim, you can say things, and sometimes they don't get mad, you know. So he said, Assalamu alaikum, ya mujrimin, ya ayyuhal mujrimun. He said, what? Assalamu alaikum. He said, mujrimun, mujrimin. I had to be careful with my grammar because they got teachers here, you know. With the Arabic language, he says, but to them, they understood what it meant. He said, peace be upon you, you criminals, you thieves. You snatchers of people's Jannah. He said, what is this? What are you talking about? He said, brother, look. La ilaha illallah is the greatest thing that can happen to anybody. My parents have died. And la ilaha illallah has not reached their steps before they died. But Coca-Cola has left America and it's in each and one of your houses. It's everywhere. Dunya is for the people who have not been selected for this kalima. And jannatul, and this dunya is jannatul kafir wa sinatul. Come on, help me out. Mu'min, right? Or Muslim. This world is a jannah for the kafir, one who has rejected, who has left understanding of deen, he rejected. This is his place of pomp and glitter and play, everything. A tisket and a tasket and a brownie on the basket. He laughs and plays, he's happy. Muslims, he wants to be happy with them now. He wants to take the happiness. Throw the happiness away. Happiness is believing in Allah. We're the following Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Make everything for Jannah and paradise. He said, no, this isn't happiness. Happiness today is Halloween, Christmas, Easter now. Muslims, they follow and get Easter eggs now. Christmas, they put wreaths on the board. They say, Assalamu alaikum. No, how are you? I'm fine. Good morning. They don't say Assalamu alaikum. That's old fashioned. We left the ways of La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah. So we're taking from these people and we're filling our pockets with their Jannah. And we're not telling them through our actions and deeds that if they don't grab the Sunnah, that they're going to be in a place for internal damnation. We've become so insensitive that these eyes that Allah has given us, we don't see or make a distinction. The things that we hear, we become so insensitive that the things that they sit, we know that they're saying and they're living, we don't hear it. Our youngster today, if they don't make an effort on deen, most of the youngsters that they're, the challenges they get about, these are nice ages. You see, about 14, right? 16, I'm sorry. But that's the age of driving a car. So it's like your dad is wants to help your son. I have 11 children. So you figure, well, he's 18 now, 19 now, get him a car. He needs to get a car, he's going to college. And you give him a whole bunch of tapes with Quran in it and hadith. Okay, dad, somebody come, he's going to college. Bye-bye, dad, I love you. He has the Quran on. Ya seen what Quran in Hakim in Nagalim and Mursali Dala Sirat al Mustaqim. So he goes around the corner after having Tali with mom too. All of a sudden he picks up his buddy, right? Radio goes off. And know what comes on, right? Right? And you know, I don't want to go to all of the things that they're talking about. But remember, young people, remember, this is why I want you to come to Papa Allah. I'm just trying to make it funny, but it's pitiful. That when your Muslim brother becomes your homie, your buddy, okay? When he comes your man, okay, then he's your shaitan. When he won't check you and you're both looking at something wrong, you're in trouble. You get friends when you got something that he wants. He got a car, you're around the corner. Let's go down the street. Turn on the music. Let's drive fast. But now when you get in trouble, he's nowhere around. There's other things that's going on. You know more than me what's going on. If you're in this matcha today, you're fortunate. You have good parents. But one day, you're going to get past the hand. I call this the hand method for my children. When you get past my hand, that means I've taught you from this age to the age where he's adult. Now after that, down the street, around the corner, it depends upon your taqwa. It depends upon you, who you believe in, the unseen Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if you're going to make salah. I can't tell you then to stand up and go to the bathroom. You go to college, they stand up and I see people, I'm sitting down, someone standing up, you know what you're doing. I'm not telling you. Huh? Don't wash the hands, don't do nothing. Because I'm in college. I'm intellectual, a PhD, RNG, but I'm standing up. That's my son. So, We, as our Mishnah says that today, my respected brothers, for a selection of words, we are people who are blessed, but we're under siege. Our worst enemy is ourselves. We're apologists. You know what apologist is? One who goes around and he's always apologizing about something he can't do anything about. You know, if I got a big nose, I got thick lips, right? I got a thick tongue. So I'm going to apologize to you that something Allah created? I don't think so. I have a bald head. I got a bald head, y'all. It comes out. There's nothing I can do about it. It's from Allah. I don't have to apologize. But what I have to apologize to Allah about is that He gave me all of these resources and He gave me time and I was neglectful. I don't want to go back to Allah as a criminal. When you get sick, young people, and you go to the doctor, it's not that you got sick then. It starts when you're that age. And what your mother and fathers put in your hearts and your life. And what you decide to act upon when you're by yourself. So we have to put ourselves in an environment, young people, where we can practice the deen. Tomorrow is all about you. No matter who you are, we'd be doctor, lawyer, engineer. And we encourage that. I want you to be the best. When you go to your classes, when you're walking, I want you to be the best. Whether you wear a sunnah or not, you practice in your heart, your eyes, and in your clothing. Everything should be geared towards Allah and the Rasul. That's the personage that you must deliver. But you can't do that if you're not training. You know, when the people who are soldiers, when they go into basic training, they call it 6 weeks basic training. Do we know what 6 weeks basic training is transforming into? What is 6 weeks? Nobody know what 6 weeks is? Thank you. He's good at math. 6 weeks. Everybody understands that except for us. 40 days. I talked to a humanity doctor, and he says that it takes 140 days for the blood, the poison, the toxin in the blood to change, and the body cleanses itself. 120 days, excuse me. Which is a whole new change, whole new metamorphosis changes. You put yourself in an environment of cleaning yourself spiritually, mentally, and physically. And you can go back and recognize and be recognized as a Muslim. Someone who people want to say, that person, I want to be like him. So when you're walking in tandem, you mean side by side, with people who mostly are not going to be your Muslim brothers. They're going to be non-Muslims. You got to let them know that you have something for them. I don't know, but some of you guys, but when I went to college, I went to a lot of guys before I was a Muslim, they were Muslims. And I wasn't Muslim all my life. I did some things that I didn't know about Islam. But the people who I used to go out with and party with and act crazy with, they were Muslims. I used to tell them my name, and I said, you know, I don't like that name. You're such a beautiful name, Abdulaziz, Abdulrahman. He said, okay, we can name you Jamal. My name is not Jamal, Muhammad Khalid. We're going to name you Jamal Abdullah. I said, oh, that's a beautiful name, man. What does it mean? He says, it means handsome. And Abdullah, it means servant of Allah. I said, oh, that's fine. And we used to go party. Go to bars. That was haram now. But my friends, they didn't tell me. Until one day, my brother, he's a scholar now, in London's the Bishop, he said, you know, you're not a Muslim yet. I want you to be a Muslim. I want you to go to the school where your buddies are at, all those guys that you study with, and tell them they have a book. And in that book, it says that they must tell you about the greatness of Allah, who Allah is, and tell them they got to tell you. So I went to some of my buddies. Some of them were Iranian guys. Some of them were Arab guys. Some of them were different areas. I said, hey, you know, my brother says, are you a Muslim? He said, yeah. Do you know that, Muhammad? Of course, my name wasn't Muhammad then. I'm not going to tell you what my name was. I said, well, he told me that you have a book and you're responsible. In that book, it says to tell people about the truth. Could you tell me what that book is? He said, well, but it's the Quran, but it's in Arabic, and you don't understand it. But he said, you're supposed to tell me. He didn't want to tell me. Then one of my friends, he said, if my father saw me today, he would kill me. I said, why? What are you doing? We're not doing anything wrong. You have a girlfriend, I have a girlfriend. You know, you're drinking some beer and I'm drinking beer. What's wrong? We don't bother anybody. He said, brother, you don't know what I know. But if you knew what I know, people like me, they would be beaten. I said, wow. So later on, I accepted Islam. And when I accepted Islam, then I came to know what he was telling me. And I said, why didn't you tell me this? He said, because I had so much love for the dunya. And when I came over here to America, the only way I would be popular when I went back home is when I talked about not how scholastically intelligent and endowed that I was, but how much wrong that I did. Then I was considered a man of the world. So when I accepted Islam, I had one thing in mind, that when I get married one day, that I didn't want my children to get the wrong information. I want them to be successful and have the real information, that they would know the difference between Halloween and Thanksgiving and all those nice, funny things. But they weren't going to give my children the proper understanding of the Sunnah. So now you are all, some of you, most of you are born Muslim. You didn't accept Islam. So it's up to you now. You have to accept Islam. Some people come here to America and they become Muslim. I asked one guy, how old are you? He said, I'm 26. I said, well, you've been Muslim all your life. He said, no, I just accepted Islam. I said, why? He said, when I came here, I started seeing what the truth is. So when you come out in the path of Allah, in the field where you all are living, you all are going to school, you all are walking next to people who aren't Muslims, it's you who benefit the people. No matter where you go, you're the ones. So your fathers, your uncles and grandfathers and everybody, they're trying to make this little effort now for you to come on the path of Allah so you can get in this environment, so you can be encouraged the positive way about Islam. Because everybody's shooting the negative things about Islam. We know Islam is the beautiful, most beautiful religion in the whole world. But you have to be the practitioners, not only inside the masjid and with your families and siblings, but you have to be practitioners of Islam, huh? out there with the people who don't know. They don't know. The people who you see today, who you go into school with, and we say to them, hello, how are you? Hello. You say, hello. Hell is low. Hello, how are you? Good morning. Is it a good morning? He just said, alhamdulillah, ladhi ahyana ba'da ma'amatana wa ilayhi nushur. He don't know what to say. It's a good morning. Yeah, it's a good morning. But if that person dies, what about that person? So that fikr comes with us. Obey your parents. It's the closest thing to paradise is obeying your parents. How you do that? You got to practice on stepping on our nafs. When you get a certain age, there will be some time when your parents have become your enemy. Because he's going to start telling you, no. Can I do this? Can I do that? Well, if we don't have that quality of ita'a, there will be problems. I don't think you have it out here, but nobody's perfect. So if we want our children to be sitting in this masjid another 20 years from now, you got to make effort. The effort that you see here today is based upon the effort of people who are around you, sitting with you from the 80s and the 90s. But now you will dictate what is going to happen in the next 5 or 10 years. So it's very important for you young people to get in the path of Allah with your fathers. Just don't send your children in the path of Allah. Go out there with them. Walk in tandem with your children. Walk with them. Ibrahim alayhi salam walked in tandem. In other words, he walked side by side. When the real Umar came down, his son showed him where the real son was at. The son had been told to test the waters by taking your life. He said, do what you are ordered to do, Father. You'll find me patient. You see? So we have to go on the path of Allah and work with our children if you can. You know, put our children in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, learn this deen and be obedient and be example. And when you go back to your homes and you go back to your communities and go back to your schools, they say, in this 10 days, this man has changed. Who is this guy? Man, where did you go? And you tell them where you've been. Tell them I had a wonderful time. This is the only place in the path of Allah you can meet people all over the world except for Hajj. Everybody's there. You're going to the power of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So everybody's ready for that, inshallah? We're dependent upon you. You have to take this to your sisters and the folks in the home. You have to do it. You. If you don't do it, tomorrow, they'll be coming to your door. And they'll be trying to tell you about your religion in Arabic and Urdu, English, whatever. They got two guys now. I always pray Allah give them hidayah. You see them riding around on a bicycle with a helmet. And I asked him, I said, who are you? He said, we're Christian ministers. I said, well, what's up, man? What are you doing? He says, well, we spent 1 year and we just walk the streets and we tell people about this faith that we're in. He said, 1 year? I said, 1 year. No women, nothing. They get a little money, but they live wherever they can live. I see them down in the roughest part of Detroit talking to people. Only two people. Nothing on them. No bulletproof vests, nothing. In the morning, when I go get some coffee, not herbal coffee, not all the coffee. When I go get my coffee in the morning, two ladies, they come to me. They say, excuse me, sir, could I have a moment with you? I said, excuse me, what do you want? Do you know who your Lord is? I said, who are you? He said, we're Jehovah's Witnesses. I said, you know, I pray that God, Allah, will give you hidayah. She said, thank you. Why are you so concerned? He said, I said, because you're out of etiquette. You're not supposed to come to me. I'm supposed to be coming to you. Your men should be coming to me, not you. But yet we're so busy in the preoccupation of dunya that they're coming up. They're learning our language. They're sitting in the car and they're trying to wait to see how can they approach you. They have fikr. Go to any CVS. Go in any of those places in the morning. They're sitting in their cars and the ladies are, they've gotten up before we got up. They're dressed in everything and they're sitting there waiting. They want to talk to you about your religion. Then they know your language. Huh? Know your language. One little boy, I'm going to stop now. One little boy, he really freaked me out. Because see, when I came up in the world, as you probably know, derogatory words and statements are very bad. It caused wars. And as you know, that the word Negro and speak or Arab or the word nigger, it means black or it's a very despicable word. Sometimes we call each other these things. That's a low-graded thing. Anybody can be that. But when you see Muslim children, they call each other these words. And you say, son, what's wrong with you? Oh, my bad, man. I'm sorry, man. That's why I was raised. Come on, nigga. I'm just trying to break it down to you real, because you guys out there, you know what's happening. Okay, you know what's going on. So that becomes your vocabulary. And then you started talking like these guys. Come on, nigga. Come on, man. Is that what we want? But that's what's happening. And it's coming through the streets. It's coming in the computers. And these things right here. Texting. And that what y'all do? They just text me. At night, before the Hajj. I saw one guy in the Hajj. He's, wait a minute, I got a Quran here. The ayat comes down on my book here. I mean, text Allah. What is this nonsense? With my text message. Just text. What's going on here? We have to check ourselves. So I'm not trying to depict anything, but that becomes our dialogue. We want to be called something that's derogatory by each other than to be called, Ya Salam, my brother, oh, Ya Habibi. Because of our environment. Don't let the environment overrun you, young people. Because your minds has ability to capture many things. So we're requesting that you make effort and give your names to go on the path of Allah. I understand a lot of you already are prepared to go. For those who have any second thoughts, we ask you please to try to go on the path of Allah and spend these 10 days, 5 days, whatever you're going to spend in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, so that the future, which is dependent upon you and the dads and the moms, you know, will be a more positive thing. We will fill all this whole masjid all down there. Because you're the ones that have to talk to the kids. And the youth, you are, not me. Bring him in here, then we'll try to talk to him further. But you the guys. In France, that's what they do. They give them Fanta, pizza, and Coca-Cola, or a Fanta drink, and they go get the kids. They give them dawah, then they bring them to the mosque. Then they get direction, then they go out and they preach the truth. So inshallah, everybody ready for that inshallah? So I think, who's the touch group people? Excuse me if I said anything wrong, you know, the word and all that, but you know, it's very important to be touch base with your youth, because if you don't get the right taste in your mouth, then these things are going to be very insensitive to you, and you make these things part of your conversation vocabulary. So excuse me, and some of the fathers, if I said anything.
Inshallah, who's ready, inshallah? Give your intentions. Inshallah, we have 10 days Jamaats getting ready in the winter break, starting on the 23rd of December, right? So inshallah, we need as many names of students as we can. As you know, mashallah, Sheikh Amir Sahib, Khadir Sahib said,